Very thankful. I'm glad he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. I'm glad he saved us. I hope today you're saved. And if you're saved, I hope you're a happy, joyful Christian. You ought to be. And he's overcome the world. And I'm thankful. Would you open your precious... Before we do that, I want to give a very special thank you. I want to thank Mr. Mitch and Aiden Jolly. They came in here yesterday and strung all the wire for these brand new cameras. And we've got three. I've been telling the church we purchased three new cameras. Our online streaming video is going to be totally different here in the next few weeks. We'll have three different views. And these are cameras that can be operated by a joystick. And it's going to make our live stream so much better. And so I want to thank y'all for coming in here yesterday and doing all of that. Brother Jim was here with them, but I appreciate them so very much. I appreciate young men that are excited about serving the Lord. Amen. And man, I want to tell you, Mr. Aiden has been a special blessing to us. And I know the Lord has special things planned for him in the near future. Amen. And I appreciate y'all so very much. Would you open your precious Bible this morning to the book of Matthew, to the book of Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 28. I want to try to do this. I'm always trying to teach. Sometimes maybe I try too much. But when you think about the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are called the Gospels. And we understand when you look at the Gospels, you have four different accounts of the same. It's the accordance to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of us are looking at this pulpit here. You have a view of the pulpit, so if you're going to explain this pulpit, you're going to explain it from your view. But I'm looking at the same object, and I'm looking at it from the back, so if I've seen this same object, I'm going to maybe describe it a little different than you because I have a different view, but it's the same object. If you're over here on the side, you have a view, you have a view. So that's exactly what the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. It's four different accounts of the same events. Now here's why I want to explain that. Somebody said, I tell you right now, the Bible has a mistake in it because that's different than what it said in Luke. Well, it's supposed to be different because Luke seen it different than Matthew. He had a different view. People are always trying to discredit the Bible. But I thank God it's God's Word and it cannot be discredited. We might not understand it all. That doesn't bother me at all. One day we will. When we're in heaven, we'll understand it all. But until then, we're going to keep living by faith. And I want y'all to know something. There's enough in here that I do understand that keeps me busy. Most people that want to criticize the Bible, well, listen, you ain't going to get critical of it if you're already trying to... What you already know keeps us busy. It's enough, amen? And I want you to know this passage right here is powerful. Look at verse 1 in Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. And by the way, the first day of the week is Sunday. The first day of the week is Sunday. Some people view Sunday as the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. But as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Praise God for an empty tomb. Thank God for a risen Savior. Heavenly Father, again, I ask you to do what only you can do. Speak to our hearts. We'll thank you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I asked the Sunday school class this morning. And by the way, we had a good group there. I think Brother Don told us we had 27 in Sunday school. I want to put a little plug there. You ought to be in a Sunday school class. We have a good one downstairs. There's one in an auditorium. Miss Cindy has a ladies' class. And we have children's classes for all ages. And, you know, when we think about Easter, how many of you have ever attended a sunrise service? You ever attended a sunrise? Would you raise your hand? And many churches don't do this anymore. So I asked our Sunday school, I said, how many of y'all would attend our, if we had one next year, a sunrise service? If you'd come out, maybe we could go up on the mountain and come over here and we can have breakfast in the gym. How many of you come? And I was surprised. Most of them raised their hand. So I'm going to give y'all a test. How many of y'all, if we had one next year, a sunrise service, that mean we'd have to meet somewhere probably around 7, 7:15. How many of you would be willing to do that and then come down here before church and have breakfast? How many of you would be willing to do that? Well, that's good enough to do it. We're going to put that on the calendar next year, amen? Yeah, long drive, but you can head this way. Then someone asked me, I have a pair of waders over here. We've used them for years, and the last time I baptized, I got wet. I mean from the waist down. So Brother Beeler called me last night. He said, "Pastor, did you get new waders?" I says, "No, but I have some at the house." So I brought some at the house. So this water now is especially special because it now has fish scales in it. So any of y'all wanting to get baptized, we got the water. Amen. Look, if you can't laugh, something's wrong. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And we ought to be joyful, oughtn't we? I want you to think about this empty tomb a minute. That's what I find so wonderful about Easter. It's a celebration of God's ultimate answer to our life. Do you know that Him raising from the dead really answers all of our problems? Certainly we see God's power in creation. Man, when you look out here at the beautiful creation, we know that God created it. It fills our souls with wonder and awe and how beautiful nature is, how beautiful geography is. Certainly we see the entire life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Word of God, you see from His birth to His death and everything in between. But perhaps there's nowhere in the Bible that shows God's ultimate power and more really sums up everything about the Lord Jesus as an empty tomb. And what we celebrate this morning. In fact, tombs say a lot about people. It's often been told or often been known to tell us about a person. When you go up and read a tombstone, sometimes they'll have an epitaph and it tries to sum up their life or summarize their life. By the way, even if you don't have an epitaph on your grave, your tomb, your marker, your name sums up your life. Because there's going to be a beginning and an end. And listen to me, there's always a dash between. And that dash was our lives. And our lives, there's a lot to be said about our lives from the beginning to the end. And so really when you look at a tombstone, it says a lot about the person's life. Through an empty tomb, God tells it all. That's the message this morning, through an empty tomb. God tells it all through an empty tomb. You know, I thought about it. When you think about geographical finds or archaeological finds. You know, you see the great finds in Egypt. They found the pyramids there. And by the way, the pyramids are nothing but tombs. These are great buildings of architects. What to have bodies in it. There's bodies there. Of course, through the years they've decayed, but they were made. Those pyramids, those great archaeological masterpieces tell a lot about the nobleness or the kingdom or the Pharaoh of the Egyptian kings. It says that they were no doubt a royal. They were in authority. Not a common man was buried in a pyramid. Can I say at Westminster Abbey in London? And of course the Palmers served there many, many years in the country of London for the Lord. But it's noted, what? It's noted. Why? Because it's revered. Because in it rest the bodies of the English nobles and the notables of the great English hierarchy and the great leaders of yesteryear of our great ally, England. Says a lot about the people that are there. When you think about Muhammad's tomb, now I can't take you there, but if you go to the Middle East, there's a tomb there that's revered. Why? Because it's noted for the stone coffin that is there, where Muhammad is there. And here's what's amazing, the bones are still there. But it's revered. It says a lot about Muhammad and his life. Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C., if you go there, the grave of the unknown soldier, it's revered in our nation, and rightfully so. All of those stones there commemorate great men and women that sacrificed their all that we could even celebrate in freedom today because they give their ultimate cost of life. They gave their life. It says a lot. And by the way, if you're ever there, you know in the changing of the guard, there can be no talking, no noise. And boy, if you do have any type of noise or talk or disrespect there, those guards will call you down quickly. They'll remove you if you're disrespectful there. Why? Because those tombs, those graves, says a lot about who were there. Great Americans that paid the ultimate price for our freedom. But the garden tomb of Jesus Christ is also famous. Y'all know why it's famous? Because it's empty. It's empty, praise God. And I'm glad it is empty. Let me just say this morning, we read, the Bible said that he rolled the stone away. I want to help everybody here this morning. He didn't roll that stone away to get out. He didn't need that stone out of the way to get out. He rolled that stone away so everybody could see he was out. He could have come through there. He didn't have to have that stone rolled away. He didn't do that for him. He did that for us. That's what makes his tomb says it all. I'm telling you what, his tomb tells everything about him because why? It's empty. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I praise God we have a risen Savior. But let me just give you three quick things, and y'all know that word quick is up for debate. Y'all can let me know at the end of the service here in about an hour. Three quick things about this tomb. Number one, what does it tell about him? Number one, his power is ultimate. His power is ultimate. Now listen, the garden tomb, Jesus is famous because his power is ultimate. There is the ultimate demonstration of God's power through Christ. It was the final fulfillment of countless prophecies regarding the coming of the Messiah. That yes, we celebrate Christmas. Why? Because he came. We celebrate Easter because yes, he died. He was put on an old rugged cross and he died. The Bible says he gave up the ghost and he was put into a borrowed tomb. And he raised victoriously from that tomb. And so we see his birth, his death, his burial, his grave. We see his resurrection. Listen, this empty tomb, it shows us God's ultimate power. Put it down to where we live. We know that he shows his ultimate power, but you know, God allows us to see his power even amongst ourselves. All of these children that were up here in this platform or up here this morning, they're all precious, aren't they? They're beautiful. Thank God for them. And there was one in particular that if God wouldn't have intervened and touched his heart, touched his life, he wouldn't even have been here. But God showed his ultimate power in touching physically little Stone Gilly. We watched it right before our eyes. He shows his ultimate power. We see it. We went down and seen Miss Bailey. And here's ultimately his power to me. we were there, and Bailey is there, confined to a wheelchair, but her spirit and attitude was one of joy and one of peace and one of encouragement. Who does that? There's only one that can do it. That's Him. In our darkest of days, God shows us His ultimate power. And by the way, if you're here this morning and say, oh, I don't see any of it, well, you're just not looking, friend. The very fact that you got up out of your bed this morning and able to make it down here is God's ultimate power, that He's given you life. His ultimate power is displayed here in the tomb. Think about His power over all. And here's what I love. I thought about this morning. I about had a running, slobber, and shouting fit. Y'all know what them are? Well, you get happy, you don't care if anybody's around, you just start shouting, crying, hollering, spitting, you're going, praise God. Something becomes real to you. I can tell most of you don't know what I'm talking about. I'll help you. I'm sitting there at the house today, I'm thinking about Easter, and I'm excited because, you know, this is like the Super Bowl for all preachers. And I was dancing around the house today, not dancing, dancing around the room. I was walking around, I was just walking. And when I get all tore up, I just pace. And Laura's like, you're nervous, ain't you? I said, well, I'm excited, nervous, you call it whatever you want to call it. But here's what I got to thinking about. You know what people fear the most? Y'all know, I've been in this thing for almost 27 years. Y'all know what most people fear? I'm going to tell you what it is. Number one, everybody's scared to die. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, you come to the funeral homes with me. Why does most people don't even come to a viewing anymore? Because it reminds them of death. Scared to death. Oh, I don't bring my children down there to that funeral home. That reminds them. Well, listen to me now. Death is just as much a part of life as birth is. But we're scared of it. Scared to death. And rightfully so, in a little bit of sense, because you know, if someone goes and has a surgery or they do something, when they get done, you say, hey, how was that like? But when you die, it's not like you can ask them, hey, how'd that go? But the Bible already tells us how that goes. If you're saved, the Bible says, though may I walk through the valley of the shadow of fear, or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He never leaves you, friend. I believe going to heaven for a Christian saying, bye high. Bye high. That quick. Miss Martha Tiffin, we've been praying for you. Her precious husband went to heaven the other day, and I believe just as sure as I'm standing here, when Donald Tiffin reached that glory, he went high and he got to see Jesus for the first time with his own eyes. I'm telling you right now, ultimate power. The thing, here's what got me excited this morning. I thought, everybody's scared to death. Scared to death of it. Number two, we don't like graves. We're scared to death. Oh my goodness, one day I'm going to be put in an old grave. So people are scared to death of the grave. And I'm going to tell you what all of us ought to be scared of. We all ought to be scared of hell. Now I'm going to tell y'all right now, I never dreamed that I'd live in a day where people make fun and say they're going to have parties in hell, but we're there. I've went up to people and said, hey, do you know for sure if you die you're going to heaven? And they've looked at me. I mean looked at me. I said, no, preacher, I'm going to hell, straight to hell. He said, I'm going to split hell wide open. And they say it with such pride. They say it like they're going to go down there and have a party, but the Bible tells me that hell is where the worm dieth not. The Bible tells me there's going to be a fire there and a heat there that will never be quenched. And you say, well, there's a loving God that would never send anybody to hell. He doesn't. We send ourselves there when we won't trust His Son, Jesus. See, He's already done everything for us to be saved. That's why we're celebrating today. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And when He raised from the dead, He gave the receipt. And we're saved and become a child of God when we trust Jesus as our personal Savior. So we're scared of death, we're scared of the grave, and we're scared of hell. Now, just sit still and don't get excited this morning. But this is what come to me this morning. I about had a running, slobbering, shouting, Bapticostal fit. Everything we're scared of, He defeated. Everything that mankind is scared of, He defeated with one final blow. when he raised from that old grave. He defeated it all. He defeated death. Look at me. I'm not scared to die today. Do I want to die today? No, but I'm not scared of it. Why? Because I know he's going to take me right to heaven. Am I scared of that grave? I love going and looking at graveyards. I love looking at those old tombstones. And I think, what did that person live for? I wonder what that person did. I wonder what that person did. So I'm not scared of a grave anymore. Why? Because Jesus defeated the grave. And I want y'all to know I'm not scared of hell either, because I know I ain't going there. And listen, it ain't because I deserve it. It's because he deserved it. He died for me, and I trusted him as my personal Savior. I'm an old sinner, saved by grace, but I'm not scared of hell anymore. All because of him. Why? Showed his ultimate power. Everything mankind is scared of, Jesus Christ defeated it. Secondly, I learned something else about this tomb. His ultimate power, but number two, I learned something else, and this was powerful. Not only that his power is ultimate, but I've learned this, his priority is people. I want y'all to stay with me just a minute. Luke 19:10, the Bible says this, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know who that is? That's you and me. That's all mankind lost. He described the King of Hosts as a shepherd in the parable, leaving the 99 sheep, what, to go find that one that was lost. I was the one that was lost. And I'm glad he knew where to find me. Most of y'all can't even find Hinton, West Virginia on a map, but I praise God Jesus found it. I was laying on a bed. I was sitting in a church, the second row from the back, in Hinton, West Virginia, on 16th Avenue. And one Sunday morning, he came by. He found my place. He found where I was. I got under conviction. I said, Mom, I need to get saved. Praise God, I had a mama that took me home. She opened the Bible. She showed me from the Bible how to be saved. And that glorious day, I asked Jesus to save me. And he's been my Savior ever since. And I want you to know something. He came for me. He did all of this for me. This empty tomb is about me and you. Listen, why? Because we are the only things that will last and live forever. It amazes me how much time we put in so much stuff that's not going to last forever, and we neglect the greatest things, which are people, which will live forever. Now, I know this is going to rub some of you the wrong way, but I want y'all to know I'm very fond of a particular Dalmatian dog. I mean, I'm fond of him. I mean, here's what's amazing. He's fond of me. I mean, normally they all love my wife, but me and Domino have a special bond, in so much the fact that this morning Laura and I was trying to hug and kiss, and I'm telling you right now, that dog got so jealous, he got between us and pushed her off of me. Now, I'm not used to that. Usually I'm having to push a dog away because she's in love with Laura, but man, this dog and I, we're fond of one another. How many of y'all ever seen Domino? He's the weirdest dog you've ever seen, because if you drive around the school, he jumps on trampolines. And Kelsey O'Mary can assure you that fact, because she was back here getting Hudson one day and she said, certainly not. She sent our dog jump up on our trampoline. But here's the reason I'm saying that. I had to look at Domino Day, because he come up and jumped up on the bed. I mean, everywhere I go, man, he's right here. I mean, everywhere. If I'm going, he's there. He jumps up on the bed. He's looking at me. And I was like, all right, buddy. And I'm rubbing his head. And I had to look at him. And I says, buddy, I said, me and you are fond of each other. I said, but she's my wife. I said, buddy, I know you don't know this, but you don't have a soul. There's a part where I say that I'm going to rub some people wrong. Some people think dogs are going to go, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, but they're precious. And I love Domino. I can't say love him, but I'm fond of Domino. But the truth is, Domino's not going to live forever. Listen to me. Only people are. The Bible says he created mankind in the image of himself. See, we're body, soul, and spirit. When you see me and when I see you, we are three in one, just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. My body is how it relates to the environment around me. I can touch. I can hear. I can see. The other two things, thank God for COVID. I can't taste or smell anymore. And that's been over 3 years. There's my, I just had to get that in there. Y'all can feel sorry for me now. But y'all can tell it ain't affected much. But listen, God gives us a body that we can enjoy everything around us. It's our body. It's our senses. We can touch, taste, smell, see, hear, and it makes this how we, it's how we react in this environment around. But then we have a soul. Now that's the part of me you can't see. That's a part of you that I can't see. But that what makes you laugh, smile, cry. It's your emotions. It's your intellect. It's your will. That's the part of you that you relate to other people. That's the part that God made you as a soul that you relate to the other people around you. That's how you communicate. That's who you are. It's your soul. That lives forever. But then you have a spirit. And the spirit of you and me, God has created us, body, soul, spirit. Our body is not forever. Our body will be temporary. Our soul is forever and our spirit's forever. Now our spirit, God created us in a way of a spirit. We have, this is the part of me and you that God created that only can be filled by Him. Do you know anyone that is absolutely controlled by drugs? Do you know anyone that's trying to live and they've tried everything in this world and they've always come up empty? The reason why is they're trying to fill their soul with some type of fulfillment, and it will never be fulfilled without Jesus. Because Jesus created us that way, and our soul and spirit will live forever. So when Jesus raised from the dead, He raised for us because we live forever. Can I say, all of this, His plan, the gospel, Him coming to this earth, Him living for 33 and a half years, Him going to an old rugged cross, Him bleeding and dying the way He did, and Him going to an old borrowed tomb and in 3 days raised from the dead. Listen, all of that was for you and for me. All of it. He wasn't trying to make a statement as far as, you know, the timing of the world. He was the statement. He did that because we were lost in our trespasses and sins, and He loved us too much to let us go. I thank God. I thank God that He did it for us. He did. All of the tomb tells me that His priority was us. He did it for us. Quickly, would you turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 17, or I can just read it to you for the sake of time. In 1 Corinthians chapter number, actually it's chapter 15. The Lord deals with the resurrection here. It says, look, if there's no resurrection of Jesus, there's some really bad things that's going to happen. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. The first thing is, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, here's what happened. Your faith is vain. We're wasting our time this morning. You know what? We'd all need to be out here in a boat. Amen. I tell you where I'd be this morning. I don't know. Maybe bed. Probably not this late. I'd probably maybe this morning, I don't know. If we didn't have church and I didn't believe in Jesus, I don't know. We might be, I don't know. Maybe I'd get my wife. We go take a hike today. There's nothing wrong with hiking, but what I'm trying to say is if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we're wasting our time. I'm wasting my time. Everything I've preached unto you for these last 15 years been empty. But we know He's raised from the dead. Number two, the Bible says in verse 17 that if He didn't raise from the dead, we're still in our sins. There's no hope for any of us. There's no forgiveness for it. So you go ahead and suffer because you've got to pay for every sin you've ever committed. But see, Jesus did raise from the dead, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. People are always scared. Oh, I can't go to church. I don't live right. That's why you ought to come. Some people have this idea, well, I'll tell you what, them's a bunch of hypocrites down there, and sometimes that's true. But I'm going to tell you what we all are. We're all sinners. But I praise God, I thank God, our sins can be forgiven. And all because He raised from the dead. Then look at verse 18. The Bible says, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Miss Martha, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, Mr. Tiffin, we're not going to see him again. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, when we bury someone, that's it. No hope of seeing him again. There's no resurrection. Hey, when Jesus Christ comes to return, there'll be none of that. Why? Because if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, our faith's empty. We're still in our sins. We have no hope. And then the last one here, verse 19, this is the kicker. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what that means? If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, y'all might as well go ahead and live it up, because down here is the best you got. Hey, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, don't look for no sweet by and by. That's all a myth and a fairy tale. You might as well live it up down here, because this is the best you got if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. And I want to tell y'all something right now. The longer I live here, this is a cesspool. Some people live like, oh, this is the only thing they got. No, see, Christians know, because Jesus raised from the dead, we got a much better place we're going to. If this is all I had down here, all this trouble, all this sin, all of this heartache and bad news, and listen, funerals and funeral homes and hospitals and cancer, broken hearts, broken dreams, if that's all I've got, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, that's all we got. But I'm glad he did raise from the dead. So we got a lot more than that, don't we? His priorities, people. A gem dealer was strolling the aisles of the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show when he noticed a blue-violet stone, the size and shape of a potato. He looked it over, then as calmly as possible, he went up to the vendor and he asked, he said, you want $15 for this? The seller, realizing the rock wasn't as pretty as the others in the bin, he said, you can have it for $10. The stone has since been certified as a 1,905 carat natural star sapphire. About 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind ever found. It was appraised at $2.28 million. Could you imagine that poor feller that sold it for $10? Here it is. It took a lover of stones to recognize the sapphire's worth. And it took the lover of souls to recognize the true value of ordinary people like us. I want you to know something this morning. You're important, you're precious, you're special, and Jesus did all this for you. Now what should we do for him? First of all, we ought to get saved. If you're here this morning, you never ever trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I ask you this pointed question. Why not? Why not? Why not? If someone come up to you today and say, hey, I got a winning lottery ticket, would you take it? There's not one person here that say, no, I don't want it. Now, you might do it secretly. Yeah, I'll take it. Don't tell nobody. Well, you'd be a fool not to take it, right? Someone called the church and said, hey, we want to give you, you know, $100,000 donation to the church for such and such. You know, I can see Kyla now answering the phone. No, we don't want that. Keep your money. We'd probably be looking for a new secretary, amen? Come on now, we can laugh, but look at me! We laugh, and we think that's funny, but when it comes to our souls, Jesus has given us the same thing. Won't you take it? It's yours. I raise from that grave for you, that you might be saved. Who's a fool that wouldn't? God help us. It's not hard. We live in a day where people are confused about salvation. They want to talk about water. That's why I made it very clear. That water has no saving power in it. It's all because of Jesus. Now he's offered you free salvation. I didn't say it was not cheap. It's very expensive. Jesus Christ shed his blood and gave his life that we might be saved. Who wouldn't accept the gift? That is the most important decision you'll ever answer. What will we do with this risen Jesus? With her head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand quietly to your feet? And I'm just going to say this, the kiddos can wait, because somebody getting saved is more important than finding eggs, and we'll wait. Don't let this time pass. You say, Pastor Mark, there's something going on down in my heart and my soul, and I know I need Jesus. Well, then you just need to say yes to him. We had a young lady and her friend, they trusted Jesus on Sunday night. Down the aisle they came Sunday night. So let me just say like this, and we'll have the invitation. Number one, just by way of testimony, you say, Pastor Mark, I'm here this morning, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But I know there's been a time in my life that I have, by faith, trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I've asked him to save me from my sins, and I know that he saved me. Hand me it by way of testimony. You say, I know that's me, and I'm so thankful. By way of testimony, would you slip your hand up? You say, that's me. Thank God I know Jesus as my Savior. That's wonderful. Now, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Mark, I couldn't raise my hand. When I say, wouldn't you like to get that taken care of today? Would you come and let someone take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how to be saved today? You say, Pastor Mark, that's me. I don't know. No one's looking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor Mark, that's me. I don't know for sure. If I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up where I can see it? Is there anyone like that this morning? Anyone like that at all? Anyone like that at all? I see the hand, but we're going to talk with this young man on the bus. Is there anyone else? You say, that's me, Pastor Mark. I don't know for sure, but now I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? How many of you know the Lord spoke to your heart about something today, and you want to be obedient to him? Would you slip your hand up? Let's be obedient. They're going to play something softly. We're going to give it a few minutes. I would ask that you just pray. Can I say this? I believe everybody needs a church home. I really do. It's so very important. If you're in the congregation today and you've never followed the Lord in baptism, you've been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism, you need to follow up on that. If you're here this morning and you know you need a good church home, we'd love to talk to you about it. Aren't you glad when we see an empty tomb, it tells us how much he loves us? I'm glad we're loved today by him. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your promise. Lord, we're thankful we can celebrate this day. You raised from the dead. You gave us victory over everything we're afraid of. We no longer have to be afraid of death. We no longer have to be afraid of a grave. And we no longer have to be afraid of hell, because you've conquered all of them when you raised from the dead. So again, I pray you'll take your word and apply it to our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you do. Give us safety now. Be with these precious children. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name.